Before we start, I want to point out something very interesting which struck me very, very strongly in preparing the shiur, which is that there is an absolute total dearth of midrashic material here. There's almost nothing in any medrash, in any chazal, about the maisa with Avimelech and Yosam and the whole fight between Gidon's kids. It's almost as if chazal were too embarrassed about this period in Jewish history to even speak about it. It really seems to have been as obliterated from the record as anything could be. And the truth is, we're going to see more very, very amazing things this evening in terms of the bloodletting among Jews, literal civil war. And besides that, basically there are Ovdei Avodah Zarah versus Ovdei Avodah Zarah. At this point, nobody in this story at least has any pretense of worshipping God. Everybody here is an idolater. And therefore, I guess Chazal did not feel it necessary to spend so much time getting into these the deeds of the people here or all Rishayim. Regardless,
the only problem is, of course, is that there are even lower pits.
That's true. You're right. That's a good point. If you talk, if you're very low, if you're like Achav, then we're really gonna. Then we'll dash about you as well. If you're just mediocre evil, then talk. We don't spend time with you. It's an interesting point. I don't know. I don't have a solution. I don't know why there is no midrashic material on this. I'm just pointing out that this is the fact and the phenomenon. All right, now we're getting back now. Last week we went through the Malbim on the Mashal of Yosam with the three types of trees, the olive tree and the fig tree and the grapevine, and finally the thorn bush. And the last week we saw that the Malbim says that these are three types of potential rulers, one which has wisdom, one which is rich, and so on and so forth. But this week I want to talk more pshat oriented, and go through some of the other auras here, which are, I'm going to go quickly because it's a long parak. And you don't have the first part of Pasuk Ches, but Pasuk Ches begins by telling us that the trees went to the Zeis. And said to the Zeis, to the olive tree, and we'll pick up here in the middle, Vayomer LaZeis Mocha Aleinu, they said to the olive tree, will you please rule over us. Now the Yonason here, again, you don't have it on this page, the Yonason Ben Uzziel translates, Hameza. Did the olive trees ever go? Which perhaps illustrates that these dialogues didn't actually ever occur. In other words, the first person with whom we have a dialogue, according to Sefer Shoftim, that they went to him to ask him whether he would like to become the king, is Gidon. Prior to that, we have no such dialogue. And perhaps this is what the Yonason is emphasizing, saying, HaMezal, did the trees ever go to anybody else to ask them to be king? And here we do have the first episode in Klal Yisrael of the quest for kingship. Then the interesting thing here is that the three trees, Rashi brings down the Medrash, which says that the three trees represent the three different people, which are the Zayis represents, the olive tree represents, Osniel ben Knas. Well, that's easy. We know it represents Osniel because Osniel was a very wise person. He was the one who brought back all the halachas which were forgotten when Moshe Rabbeinu died. He was the one who returned them with his pilpul. And Zeis, we know always the Shemen Zeis, because it represents the light of the menorah, represents the great light, the aura of Torah. So that's why he's the olive tree. The Vora here is represented by the fig. The Alei Tena. That's a little bit more difficult. Why the fig represents Tena? The Medrash does bring down some sort of pasuk, but I would like to go digress here a little bit and give my own shot, which is that the Eitz Hadas was a fig tree. You know that. Eitz Hadas is a fig tree, and that's why, according to some opinions of the Chazalis, and that's why the garments which were made for them after they left Gan Eden were made out of fig leaves. Alei Tena. And of course, it was the woman who caused the sin of adoration. It was Chava, who of course brought the whole thing about. So the Te'ena represents Adam Aria Chava and represents women. That's one pshat. Not such a good pshat. I'll give you a better pshat. The pshat is that in Shir HaShirim, Beis Yugimel, we have a pasuk that says, HaTe'ena Chanta Pager. Which means that the fig tree started ripening. So Yonason ben Uzziel says a very interesting thing. He says, "Kenishta di Israel, the Mesila is all in my notes, by the way. Kenishta di Israel, the Mislo le Bikurei Teinim. The Knesset Israel is likened to first crops, Bikurim of fig trees." What does that mean? Why is Am Yisrael like it the first crops of fruit tree, of fig trees? We know B'ni B'chori Yisrael, right? Am Yisrael is called B'ni B'chori, my firstborn. But why Bikurim of figs? So the answer is because there's an amazing Chazal which says that Bo V'nachsi Tovo L'Avoseinu Shemoleheim Shechatu Anu K'mishal Banu L'Olam. We got to be grateful to our forefathers that they sinned. Why? Because had they not sinned, we wouldn't be here today. Starting with Adam Rishon, Adam Rishon not sin, the entire course of history would have been different. There would never have been an Am Yisrael. So why was there a chet? Why we talked about this once before? Why was there? No, we haven't. Why was there a chet Eitz Hadas? I spoke about this with you. Why was there a chet Eitz Hadas? In order to bring about Am Yisrael. And therefore, we are the Bikurei Tanim. God had in His master plan that there would be a chait of Adam Rishon, and there would actually be this exodus from Gan Eden, this eviction from Gan Eden. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us the first fruits, the Bikurim, which were planned as a result of the chait of the Tanim. And Am Yisrael is therefore called, we know the Torah is called Bereishis, the Torah begins with the word Bereishis, Bishvil Yisrael Shenikru Reishis. The Torah is called, quoted, created for Am Yisrael, called the first. We're the purpose of the Bria, Sof Maaseh, although Am Yisrael only happened much later, but Machshava Tchila, we were the original intent. So the Bikurei Tanim means, we're the first intent of God, even though we came about much later in history, and therefore God had Adam Rishon put in the situation where he would sin. He would commit the Avera of the Eitz Hadas Tovara in order that Am Yisrael should come into being. And there's a fascinating thing afterwards. The Yonis on there in Shir Shrim goes on to say that the Te'ena, the Knesset Yisrael, the Mitzvah Bikurei Te'enim, Poschas Puma, they opened their mouths, Va'a Amras Shirsa, and they sang the song, Al Yama Desuf. Ani Amsuf. In other words, the fact that Am Yisrael is Bikurei Te'enim is what leads them to be the great singers, to be those who sing Ani Amsuf. Now, why that should be, I think, is because Am Yisrael is particularly sensitive because we came about as a result of Averos, as a result of the Aver of Adam Rishon, and our purpose in this world is L'Sakein Olam B'Malchus Shakai, to rectify the world and to bring about the tikkun of all the things which went awry. So therefore, we're particularly sensitive to knowing, Zek Kelivan Veyu. Let's bring God into the Bria, and let's praise God when we see the Bria. Because our see God in the Bria. Because since our purpose is to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, we are particularly joyous, elated, and sing when we see Kiddush Shem Shamayim. And that's why in every Nes we have this great takana of Hallel. Whenever you see a Kiddush Hashem, what are you supposed to do? Sing about it. And all the Shiros are focused, all Shiros and Amishos be focused on the great yearning for and realizing God's divine manifestation. So that's why Devorah, who's likened to a Te'ena, because Taka, the Chet, was through an Isha, she too sings. He's also a singer, just like Am Yisrael Kriyas Yamsuf was sensitive to that Yeshua and was able to sing because they're the nation of Bikurei Te'enim, the nation who has to rectify the chait of the figs. So to Dvora, who's particularly sensitive to the Tikkun because she's from Chava and she bears especially more so the brunt of Tikkun, therefore she's sensitive and she sings when the Gula comes. It's interesting, you know, women, it seems, are more involved. B'schus noshim tzitkonios nigalu Yisrael mimitzvayim. Women are more involved in the Tikkun Olam b'machus shakai process, perhaps behind the scenes, perhaps in a way which is not always apparent, but it's in their schus that occurs, because they got more to be misakin. Since they were in Chote more than Adam Rishon, because they're the ones who seduced Adam Rishon to sin, that's why they have more of a tikkun which they have to do. And that's why they're perhaps more involved in the zchus, in being mezaka Am Yisrael, and that's why they don't sin as much either. They're more focused, more directed, more involved spiritually in bringing about the Sikun Olam B'Malchus Shakai. That's the Te'ena. Then we have the Geffen. And the Geffen represents Gidon. So there's a simple reason why the Geffen represents Gidon, although I don't think it's brought down here in Rashi, which is that Gidon in Gematria is Geffen. Gidon is, you know, the Dalet and Vav is 10, and Ayin is 70, which makes us, or gives us a pay, and therefore Gidon in Gematria is Geffen. Very simple, right? But besides that, what Rashi does bring down is that Gidon was from a descendant of Yosef HaTzadik, and Yosef HaTzadik was associated with wine. Where do we find Yosef associated with wine? Well, all over with the Saramashkim, with the dream of the Saramashkim,
the Gavia.
Besides that, for 22 years, neither he drank wine nor the brothers drank wine. And the first time we find a drunkenness in a positive sense in the Chumash, drunkenness in a negative sense, the first time is Noach. Drunkenness in the positive sense is Vayishtu Vayishku Rimo, last week's Parsha. When Yosef and his brothers, they got together and they drank for the first time in 22 years.
Mineral water.
Well, it wasn't mineral water. It says Vayishkaru. They got shikar. So, mineral water. They got high in mineral water, yeah. So, in any event, why is, and besides that, we see Yosef is also connected with wine, because when he wanted to show Yaakov Avinu, bring Yaakov Avinu back to life, so he sent them Yain Yoshon Shadaz Kenim Nochimanu. Sent them old precious wine. And Yosef also, of course, corresponds to which month? Adar, right? Just like the two Shvatim and Yosef, sometimes the two Adars. So therefore, Yosef represents the month of drinking, the month of Purim. So we see that Yosef is connected with drinking, and I think the reason why Yosef is connected with drinking is because he represents the antithesis of drinking. Drinking means letting loose, right? Giving up the barriers. Yosef was
uptight.
Yosef was very uptight. He was very gadur. He restrained himself. The classic case of his restraint is with Eishes Potipharah. But there are other places. Yosef had to conquer his, you know, combing of the hair, looking in the mirrors. He was a person who was a tzaddik in the sense he battled Yetzer and restrained it. That's why he emphasized the Egyptians when they needed the food. He told them all to get a bris milah, so they too should be restrained and not such big bali taiva. I don't know if it worked, but he tried. So all these things represent the kedusha which a Jew has, the innate barriers. Yosef was mezakeh that midah. He gave that trait to Am Yisrael for all generations. So that's why Jews are allowed to drink. If you give a goy to drink, so he becomes prust, he becomes lewd, he becomes dangerous, perhaps even. If you give a Jew to drink, a Jewish, not what we have today, then you'll see somebody who gets drunk will start talking Torah, will become on a higher level, will strive for higher Avodas Hashem. So that comes from a Yosef Mida, that a person is inherently Gadur, inherently restrained. So that's why once they met Yosef, the brothers, then they can drink, even though 22 years later. Hi, they didn't know it was Yosef, so subconsciously they knew it was Yosef, and that's why they drank with him. He wasn't able to, right, but he tried to restrain himself, that's right. Sometimes he couldn't, he tried to, it's a good point. So he usually tried to restrain himself. Okay, so those are the three Mishraim here, and Yosef was saying they went to Asniel said no. They went to Dvorah said no. It's interesting, they wanted to make Dvorah a king, according to this queen. They went to Gidon, and Gidon said no as well. They all said no. Now let's go through the psukim a little bit more inside. Let's start in Pasuk Tes. Vayom lemazais, the olive tree said to them, Echdauti is dishni, why me stop giving forth my fat? My oil, Asher be, which is in me, Yichabdu Elokim Anoshim, which gives glory to God and to man. The glory to God is by the Shemen for the Mar and for the Menachos, for the light and for in the base of Mikdash, and for the Menachos, the Karbonos. The coin was right, all sorts of places, with the Mashiach of Kohen Gadol and of Melech. Vayolachli lanua leitim, you want me to go to direct the trees? It's interesting, being a king here is called lanua, to move. A king represents movement. A king has right direction and movement. That's the whole point of a king. Point of a president too. That's why we have problems. If you don't provide movement and direction, then you're then the nation has problems. So it's interesting because here, by all the other three trees, it says, Lanua. They ask them, go be na upon us. Direct the movement, direct us, give us direction. By the Atad, it won't say that. In Pasuk Yudal, if you take a look at Pasuk Yudal, it says, in Pasuk Tezvav, when we get to that Atad, you'll see that he doesn't say, I'll be na laitim. No. He says, I'll stand right here. You guys all come to me. I'm not providing any direction, any movement. You guys come to me and just stand under my shade. Very interesting thing. All right, let's go on. Vayomer etim la'elat to persecute. Vayomer etim la'teina. So they said to the fig tree, L'chiyaf mochilin, you go and you be the king over us. Vatom la'matena, the queen in this case. Vatom la'matena, the fig tree said, Hechdati is musky, do you want me to start giving out my sweetness? Vesnugasi atoiva, my beautiful fruitiness. Vatom la'matena, you want me to direct the trees? Vayomer etim la'gefen. So they said to the grapevine, L'chiyaf mochilin, you be the king over us. Vatom la'matena, so the grapevine said, Echdaltius Hiroshi, why me start giving forth my juices? Hamasameh Elokim Vanashim, which causes joy to God and to man. Velachti Lanu Aleitim, you want me to go and direct the trees? So if you take a look here in my notes, I could go through the Radak with you inside. Maybe I'll go through part of it, but take a look here in my notes. Hamasameh Elokim Vanashim is with in the Sochim, right? The libations in the Beis Hamikdash. The Radak here has a very long discussion of Yonis Aminuziel's approach towards describing emotion to Hashem. Because the Radak here says, not that it causes God joy, but rather, Yonatan says, "Do we name menaschim kodem Hashem with the wine? They would pour libations before God, uvechodon rav revayah, and it causes noblemen to rejoice." So he doesn't give, he doesn't ascribe joy to God. Why not? He ascribes joy to great men. But not to God. By the way, why to great men? So that's what Radak explains. You give wine to low people, what's going to happen with them? They'll get real drunk, right? And they'll become lewd and base. You have to, oh, wine is only, tsugabas is only proper for people on a high madrega to drink, who will not be affected by the wine, or will be affected in a positive way. But it says here, and this is, by the way, a major problem, which is dealt with by the Rambam, the Ramban, and here the Radak. Because Unklus and Yonison do the same thing. Throughout Tanakh, very often, they will try to refrain from ascribing emotions and human attributes, anthropomorphisms, to God. They will not describe God with human terminology. Let's take a look in the Radak inside. It's important. He says here, in the third line of the Radak, Hirchik Yonason Olav Hasholom Hasimcha Me'abor Yisala. Yonason distanced joy from God. K'moshi Hirchik Kol Shara Torim Imenu. He distanced all other descriptions from God. K'ein Levarav Lo Simcha, God is not happy, V'lo Yitzavon, and not sad. U'mashenemar Bo Mehem, and that which it says by God, occasionally happy or sad, al derech mashal, it's only an allegory. Ki divrei Torah kolosh miyanim, the Torah spoke like people speaks. V'chein tirgim unklus vayitzatze v'libo, and so to the unklus translated vayitzatze v'libo, and God said he regretted creating mankind. V'amar b'memre li mispar tukveon kirusei. He just said, not that God had any emotion, but rather God said he's going to break the strength of the brazen mankind. He too, Unklus, distanced the language of sadness from God. So why didn't God say that by Vayichar Af Hashem? Why didn't Unklus and Yonason say Vayichar Af Hashem? God's speech, God's attitude, God's relationship. Why does it say that God himself got angry? It's a secret. What is a secret? Good question, right? So I want to give you a little background material. It's in this week's parsha, interestingly enough. The Ramban in Vayigash B'nei Perak Mem Vav brings that as a super long Ramban there. Really, really long. And he brings up first the Rambam, because the Rambam, as I told you, already deals with this issue with Unklus. And the Rambam says that Unklus all over tried not to make sure the people are not led astray by the Pashup Shad in Tanakh, which ascribes emotions and human attributes to God. And therefore he always uses a word which will distance, will buffer God from human emotions or from human activities. But the Rambam brings out many places where that's not true, where the Rambam's approach doesn't hold water. Ronkelus does say that this was God. So the Ramban says it's also a Kabbalistic secret, but it's possible to say that an interpretation of this Kabbalistic secret, which Rabbi Hirsch Eisenberg pointed out to me, which is that Midas Hadin, God acts with judgment. That's emes. That's truth. And truth is identified with God. Chosama shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. The sign of God is truth. When God acts with midas harachamim, as wonderful as that is, that's a stretch. If you have midas harachamim towards a sinner, it's nice, it's good, it's wonderful, it's positive, we ask God to do it all the time. But felt epis, there's something missing in the emes. That in and of itself is a minor but distinct element of his gashmus, giving God some aspect other than absolute total truth. So therefore, he wanted to say, Rabbi Eisenberg, that Vayichar Av Hashem, that's Midas Adin, that could be described directly to God. That God should be happy, that we can describe directly to God. Even that God should be sad, that also is not a function of Midas Adin. Judge is not happy or sad. That also is an element of his gashmus. When we talk about punishing or rewarding directly in a form of midas hadin, then we can use the term God himself, and we don't have to distort it in order to try and eliminate these gashmus, the connection of this emotion or this attribute to God. Which is an interesting pshat, it's a nice pshat. The Rambam himself there seems to distinguish between, generally, between a shema mafurash and the name Elohim. Although not always, but generally, Elohim means God's midos. And there we won't use the direct translation, because the midos of Hashem, although they do exist, if we describe them directly to Hashem, we seem to be giving God changes and phases, and that we don't want to do. Whereas the Shem Amfurish, the Yudke Vavke, generally, although not always, represents God in his essence, in his totality, and there, so to speak, and therefore there we would use a direct translation. So that's perhaps a little bit of an understanding, although I'm sure not a complete understanding of the soul which is involved, and it is something to remember throughout Tanakh, that Unklus and Yonison constantly do this. They constantly translate in a way which negates from God any anthropological tendencies. Okay, let's go for anthropomorphic tendencies is the right way word. Okay, let's go further. Now all the trees said to the thorn bush, you go when you become king over us. So the thorn bush said to the trees, if you're truly making me a king, then come, live in my shade. And if not, let fire come out of the thorn bush and consume the cedars of Lebanon. Now that's the end of Moshe. Now Yosem describes the Nimshal. Yosem tells us what this Al Goy is supposed to represent. And now says Yosem, in the Emes, Ubisamim, Asisem, if A, you're really in truth and with wholeness, in other words, as a pursuit of shleimus, of perfection, by having such a wonderful king, Asisem, Atam Lichus HaMelech, that's what he made Avimelech king, or B, if you're doing a favor with Gidon because he's such a wonderful guy, and that's why I point out Melch as a king, or C, in Kigmul Yodav Asisim Lo, you are repaying the salvation which he saved you in war. Asher Nilcham Avim Achem, and these correspond to the two things we were just saying. My father fought for you, Vayashlechas Nafsho Minegin, and he was a great guy. He put his soul out on the line. That's why you're doing this favor to his son. Vayashlechem Yad Midyon. This corresponds to the third thing we said before. He was a great savior, and because of salvation, you're making Avimelech king. Vatem Kamtem Obeisavi. What did you do in return? You low lives. You got up today, Abay Zaviv, against my father's house. Hayom, Vatargu is Bonav Shivimish, and he killed his children 70 people, I have Nechos on one stone. Vatamlichus Avimelch ben Amoso Abal Eshchem, and you made Avimelch, the son of his kind, his maidservant. Before we called her a concubine, now she's a maidservant. She must have been a maidservant who's a concubine. Abal Eshchem, to be the king over the households of Shchem, you know why you did it? Ki Achichem Hu. You didn't do it because of any altruistic reason. You didn't do it because he Gideon was a great warrior, or because Gideon saved you. You did it because he's your brother and you liked him. V'imbam is utomim asisem. But if you did it b'shleimus, getting back to the first reason we gave above, if you really truly meant it when you made Avimelech king, because he was going to lead you in a proper path. Vimbeso, and this is good, and you did a wonderful thing with your Baal and his household today, Hayom is there today. Subhu v'Avimelech. Rejoice in Avimelech, v'ismach gam hu b'chem, and let him rejoice in you. But if that's not true, as I think it's not, teitza yesh mi'Avimelech, let a fire come out from Avimelech, v'tzochel z'Baal Eshchem, and let it consume Baal Eshchem, v'ez beis milo and beis milo, which was a suburb of Shchem, and vice versa, v'teitza yesh mi'Baal Eshchem, v'beis milo, let a fire come from the householders of Shchem and beis milo, v'zuchal z'Avimelech, and let it consume Avimelech as well. And now the mashal is brought full turn.
But why is this dialectic? You made the point the first time. Why then cyclical? If you did it for valid reasons, A. If you did it because he's achichem, B. And then it repeats, v'im v'ametu v'tamim asitem, and then goes through yet again the pessimistic assessment. Why this kfilut?
I think in the middle.
Especially because basically.
Pasuk,
he leans towards the second interpretation.
What you're really asking is on Pasuk Yilches. Pasuk Yilches shouldn't be there. Pasuk Yilches, Vatem Kamtam Beis Avi Ayom, should really be after Pasuk after Yutess.
Yeah, but even Yutess is a repeat.
No, Yutess is not a repeat. Yutess is saying, I see what you're saying. Yeah, you're right. It's a good point. Yutess is a repeat. I don't know. I don't know if there is any hidden meaning here. It's possible that Yosam, we're just reporting Yosam's speech verbatim. And obviously, Yosam was not, in a situation to think out his words that carefully, not say everything exactly. But perhaps otherwise, we could say. And again, I don't know if this answers the question fully. And Pasuk Yilches is saying that he's pointing out this last line, Ki achichem hu, that you did it because of no altruistic reason whatsoever. And this is something which obviously shows that they had no akaras hatov to Gideon, because they killed all the other brothers. So he's negating the last two reasons. There's no akaras hatov to Gideon. There's no recognizing the great salvation which he wrought. Why? Because you wouldn't kill the 70. You couldn't kill the 70 brothers at the same time as you're making one of them the king because of Akaras HaTov. It just doesn't go together. And then in Pasuk Yutesi he's saying, but maybe even though you killed all 70 of them, maybe Lamaisa you did that not because of a favor back reciprocating to Gideon, but maybe because you really feel that Avimelech should be the king, that he is indeed worthy, and it's MS and Tomim. So then he said, if that's stuck in true, fine, let him be happy with you, and you should be happy with him. But I don't think that that's true, he goes on to say. He says, and I am therefore cursing you. A fire should consume reciprocally both of you. So Pasuk Yilches is rejecting that it was a favor to Gideon. Pasuk Yilches is saying, but still, maybe you Taka meant it, Lishma. Maybe you felt that he would make a better king. And that he's saying, in Pasuk Chof, I can't disprove that. Maybe you did feel that way. But Lamaisa, I have a hunch it's not, and therefore I'm placing a curse upon you. Vayanas Yosem, in Chopal, we say Vayanas Yosem, and then Yosem ran away, and again, as I told you before, he's under duress here, under pressure, so maybe he wasn't exactly medactic in what he said. But he says, Vayivrach Mishra, Vayivrach, he ran away, Vayilach Be'er, and he went to Be'era, to Be'er. Vayeshiv Shom, and he says, stay there in hiding, Bibnei Avimelech Ochi, because of Avimelech's brother. Vayoshar Avimelech Yisrael Sholoshanim. Avimelech ruled over Am Yisrael for 3 years. So of course the word here uses Vayoshar. And Vayoshar means he took Shvara. What? Is it Vayoshar? My mistake. Vayoshar, which is the Lashon of Svara, of the authority which he seized. This is not like everybody else in Sefer Shoftim. What does it say about everybody else in Sefer Shoftim? What did a Shofet do? Shofat, right, by Yishpot. And a Shofet obviously tried to bring justice and peace. This guy, Abimelech, all he did was assert his authority. But it seems like he was pretty successful. It seems like it wasn't just in Shechem. It was Yisrael and all of the Jews for 3 years. Vayishlach Elokim, however, God, of course, takes revenge in the end. Vayishlach Elokim, Ruach Rav and Abimelech ben Baal Shechem. God then, 3 years later, brought a ill wind between Abimelech and the householders of Shechem. Vayivudu Baal Shechem Abimelech, and the householders of Shechem rebelled against Abimelech. They were treacherous against him. Lavo, why did this happen? Lavo Hamas, to bring down the treachery of Shimim Bnei Yubal perpetrated against the 70 sons of Yubal, the Domam and their blood, the Lasumal Avimelachim, to place in Achimel Avimelach, their brother, Asher Harago, some who killed them, Fabal Shem and vice versa, and Baal Shem Asher Chizkus Yodam, who strengthened his hand, La Rogas Achim Echov, to kill his brothers. So what's interesting in this pasuk is that really proper grammar should have been Vayishlach Elokim Ruach Rav and Avimelech ben Baal Shechem Yidu Baal Shechem ben Avimelech lo havi, and God wanted to bring Hamas Shimim, etc. But here it says Lavo, that the Hamas came on its own, the revenge came on its own. It seems to me the Pasuk is telling us an interesting thing. If you sin, your sin itself without God's intervention will visit revenge on you. Chai Avera? Avera. The Avera itself will visit its revenge. Lavo Hamas. Sooner or later, the boomerang returns and takes care of you. Thing is, it might not always be an Olam Hazeh. Could be you're only going to get zapped in Gehenna. You're going to burn in the hellfires. But until then, maybe you'll be safe. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did here was he brought the Hamas on Avimelech, even during Avimelech's lifetime in Olam Hazeh. He didn't wait for kids to take care of him after his death. But of course, regardless of whether Kosh Baruch Hu takes care of a person in this lifetime or not, Lavo Hamas, sooner or later the sin is going to catch up with you, and the Chatoim Tir Dofra, the Chatoim will pursue the Ra here, the evil doer, and punish them of their own accord. So Chazal mean when they tell us that every time you commit an Avera, you create a Malach Havala, a damaging angel. What does it mean to create a damaging angel? It means that your chait itself will return to torment you. In a spiritual way, in the Olam HaNeshamos, after you die. And here it was, God was made, brought about that even before that, in Olam HaZeh, in a physical way, Avimelech and Shechem would suffer for their sins. So what happened? Vayasimu lo Baal Shechem Arvim. The household of Shechem put up ambushes. Al Rosh Yehorim, on the tops of the mountains, they stole all the people from all the people who would pass through over them, pass by them on the highway. And Avimelech was told about it. Now it's interesting, machlokas here between the Radak and the Malbim. The Radak says the ambushes were intended as a sign of rebellion. They wanted to show that they no longer felt subject to Avimelech's yoke. That's why they started being highwaymen, in order to show we're free of you. You jerk, we're free of you, we're not going to watch you, we're not going to keep your commands anymore. The Malim says a slightly different shot. He says that these guys were actually hit squads. They were sent out, the ambushes were sent out by Shechem, by the people of Shechem, to go waylay, is that the right word? To go waylay Avimelech and assassinate him. But since they were criminals, they were professional crooks, they couldn't restrain themselves from stealing in the meantime. So when they stole in the meantime, they gave themselves away. And Avimelech found out, he caught wind of the plot. And therefore, Avimelech ran away from the city. And although it's not described here explicitly, Avimelech, as we're going to see later on, left Shechem at this point, and he went to a city called Torma. Why? To avoid the possible assassination attempt of the people of Shechem. So in the meantime, Avimelech is out of the city. Vayavo Gal Ben Eved. Gal Ben Eved came. And according to Rashi, was a goy. It certainly seems he had a pretty vile name. You know, Gal means, what does Gal mean in Hebrew? Goel nefesh means despicable, disgusting. Vayovo gal ben eved, and it's, what is his father's name? Slave, right? So certainly he was a low person. Vayachov, and he was a troublemaker. Vayachov and his brothers came. What? The Calabrese brothers, whatever, the mafia. So Vayabru b'Shechem, and they passed through Shechem. Vayitchu bo b'al Shechem, the people of Shechem, oh, they trusted him. Oh, he was now going to be their leader. Vayetzu asode. And now the people in Shechem had been holed up because there was still a...
What's critical, and we don't know, no indication, is what Shevet he came from. And so much of this is...
No, Rashi says he's a goy. Rashi says he's a mamish a goy.
Okay. Why would they pick him to walk alone?
Yeah, I said, I told you, they were in Devar Azura, these guys. They weren't tzaddikim or yisharim. Right? We don't find God mentioned in this parak at all. I mean, you know... invoked by either the sides in the war which is about to be waged. Vayetzu, on the contrary, we're going to see some of it in Zorah. Vayetzu started now, until now, the Malbim points out, they were holed up inside the city. Because Avimelech was outside the city with his forces, and therefore the Baal Shechem were a little bit afraid to go out and do their stuff outside the city. But now, Gal ben Eved gave them this confidence. Vayetzu Aswan, and they went out to the fields. Vayibtsu is karmeim, and they harvested their grapevines. Vayizhuchu, and they pressed them. Vayasu ilulim, and they made parties. Vayavo beisaleim, and they came to their house of their God, to their churches. Vayochu, they ate. Vayishu, and they drank. Vayekalu is Avimelech. So what do you do when you get a good party rolling? Put up the mekalel. They started cursing Avimelech. Vayomer Gal ben Eved, that was a very difficult pasuk. Okay, we're going to explain it like the Malbim. The Malbim gives two explanations. First explanation of the Malbim is Vayomer Gal ben Eved. Gal ben Eved said, "Mi Avimelech? Who's Avimelech? Umi Shechem? What's Avimelech's connection to the city of Shechem that he should reign here? Hello, Ben Yerubal. He's the son of Yerubal. What shape is Yerubal from? Nasha. He's not our ruler. Who are we? He's a goy. But who is everybody else in the room? Which Shevet?
Ephraim.
Right? Mi Hello, Ben Yerubal." Uzvul pikido, and Zvul is clerk, his second in command, should certainly not have any power over us. Ivdu esanchei chamor avishchem. If you Jews want to, if you Jews, remember he's a goy, you guys want to worship these donkeys, these anchei chamor, as avishchem, as the masters of Shechem, that's your problem. But we, the Goyim, we certainly are not going to worship Avimelech and Zvul. That's not for us. What? He's saying, the Ma'am says, Anche Chamor mean the donkeys, the people of donkeys. That's another pshat. The Ma'am says he intended a pun here. He said, what he was saying was, of course he was invoking Chamor, the elder Zeta, the great-great-grandfather ruler of Shechem. But he also meant to say that these guys who are taking his place, who are taking the place of the original Canaanite rulers, they're Chamorim. Any ruler of Shechem is a Chamor. Just like we find in the Chumash. So according to the Malbim, he's not just saying that these are the rulers now, we have no intention of ruling them. He's also saying these rulers are not worthy of ruling. They're lowlifes. Worse, they're donkeys. So that's one interpretation. Let's go back and read the pasuk again with another interpretation, which is the Malbim's second interpretation. Mi Avimelech u mi Shechem? Is Avimelech to be a master in the city like Shechem of yore? Remember who were the masters of Shechem once upon a time. The great Canaanite leaders. Kinavdenu, we should worship Avimelech, who's nothing compared to the old leaders of Shechem. Hello, Bechlau, in general, says Gal. Ben Yerubal is Lupikido. We don't even know who his father is. Because we know his mother was Mizaneh. She was an adulteress. I don't know if she was married. She was a Pelegish. But she was a loose woman. We don't even know who Avimel's father was. Maybe Avimel's father was Yerubal. Maybe Avimel's father was Vul, because You know, they had a menage a trois. They were the two of them were having a relationship with this one group, with this one woman over there. This is the Malbim. I'm not making this up. This is the Malbim. If you need a ruler, then idus chamor anshe chamor avishchem. Then worship the land's original rulers. Come back, bring back the Knanim. They're worthy of worship, of serving. This guy, Avimelech, he's certainly not worthy of our serving. Madua nabdeno nachtu, why should we serve him? It's interesting here, all over the word Zvul, here is written without a vav, throughout the perek. We know what Zvul without a vav is. Zevel. Garbage. So it seems like they were mocking him. They'd be behind his back, they didn't just call him Zvul, which is a nice term, short for Zvulun. It means the place of residence of the Shechina. They called him Zevel.
It's a categorical description of all bureaucrats.
All bureaucrats, right, okay. So Gaal says, who would allow me to run this nation? And I'll get Avimelech away from here. So he sent a taunting message to Avimelech. Rabbei Tzvoecha, get yourself a large army, Vitzeon, come out of where you are and wage war against us. Now Zvul was Avimelech's henchman. He was still in the city. The city itself was divided. He was still in the city. He heard the words of Gal ben Eved, and he got very upset. And sent messengers to Avimelech, who was in Torma, outside the city. Now Torma seems to be in the city, and later on it's going to be called Aruma. But the Yonison translates Torma to mean Raz, a secret. And which Radak takes to mean treachery. In other words, that Avimelech is a treacherous individual. He's about to kill all his erstwhile supporters. So, Lamor, they sent a message to Avimelech to say, Gal ben Eved and his brothers, Ba'im Shechema, they came to Shechem. They named Tzorim et Sa'ir Alecha, and they're causing troubles in the city against you. That Tzorim also can mean laying siege. And therefore, there are three different interpretations of this word that they're Tzorim Alecha. One is that they're rabble-rousing the city of Shechem, they're causing trouble. The other is that they're barring Avimelech's re-entry in the city. They're sieging from the inside, securing the city. And the other is that they're coming to lay siege on Torma. They're going to leave the city imminently to come wage siege, to put a siege against you and wage war against you, Avimelech, and eradicate you. So what should you do, Avimelech? V'atokum lailo, get up in the middle of the night. Atov amasharitcha, you and the nation who are with you. V'ero basada, make an ambush in the field. And it will be in the morning. Kizruach Hashemesh, when the sun shines, Tashkim, you will rise early. Upashakatol ear, and you'll fan out against the city. Vinehu, Vama Sharito Yotim, and you'll find Gal ben Eved leaving the city on his way to attack you. Vasisolok Hashertim Tzedechon, you should do to him that which your hand is capable of doing.
It's known as a preemptive strike.
A preemptive strike, yeah. And all the nation which is with him got up, Lailo, in the middle of the night. And they made against Shechem four different divisions, four different battalions to fight. The Mephoshim say, two are supposed to destroy the city and two are supposed to destroy the fields. So Gal, in fact, leaves the city. Gal ben Eved went out and he stood at the gate. Avimelech got up when they saw him coming out of the gate. And the nation which was with him got up from the ambush. So Gal saw the nation and Zvul, and he said to Zvul, there are people coming down from the heads of the mountains. Zvul said to him, no. You see the shadows, like as if they're people. No, you're just imagining it. And he's trying to buy time. Zvul is trying to buy time for Gideon's troops to get downhill. What? For Avimelech, right. And Gal continued speaking. He said, no, I can see that they're actual people. There are people coming from the strong parts of the land. In other words, from the high mountains. And one division is coming from the highway to the plain of the sorcerers. Now Zvul said to him in a mocking voice, Aye, Epo Picha, where are your promises? Asher Tomar, that you promised the people in the Shechem, Mi Avi Melech, U Mi Navdenu, who's Avi Mikav Niki Navdenu, who's Avi Melech that we should, could worship him? A, you promised that you would redeem them. B, you said, Halozeo Asher Masto, this is the group of people, the soldiers, who you made fun of. You made light of Avi Melech's soldiers. Why aren't you going to fight them? So you should put your money where your mouth is. You promised to lead a war. You made fun of his soldiers. Let's see who wage the war. Atah, say no Atah, go out now. Filochimbo, and fight against the enemy. Fight against the Abimelech and his minions. So God was, of course, he was there, and he went out before the household of Shechem. Okay, they wage war. Avimelech pursued him. And God ran away. And many casualties fell at Pesach Ashar to the opening of the gate into Shechem. But Avimelech was still too afraid to go into Shechem. There was still civil war waging on the inside. So he waited until Zvul, in fact, kicked out Gal and his brothers, Mishav and Shechem, so Gal and his brothers would no longer be in Shechem. Vayimi Macharas, it came the next day, and the nation went out to the field, Vayagidu Lavi Melech, and they told him Melech that Gal had left. Now here we see the beginning of here we're going to see the beginning of the Klola taking place. Vayim Machras Vayitza Masoda. I'm sorry, I misread this pasuk. Pasuk on base. Vayim Machras Vayitza Masoda means that the regular people went out to the fields. The soldiers who had lost the battle, they had run away already with Gal. Now I'm talking about the next day. The regular farmers went out to farm their fields. But Avimelech wanted revenge. He wanted to take care of them. Vayigachasami took his group of people. Vayichasem l'shlosha roshim and divided them up into three groups. Vayero Basari lay in ambush in the fields. Vayar, and he saw Vineo Amiotunia, that the nation has left the city, the people left the city. Vayokum Aleim, he rose up against them. Vayar came and he smote them. Verily, he smote them mightily. He really took care of them. And, yes. Vayimelech Barashim Ashremo. And Avimelech with the heads. Here, Rashim doesn't mean the divisions. Before we said Shlosha Roshim means three divisions, Ab Roshim four divisions. Here Roshim means the best warriors which he kept in his division, because two other divisions he left behind, as we'll see in a minute. Vayimelech v'Roshim v'Shareim v'Melech and his divisions pushed to beyond the Pesach, beyond the Pesach Shariah, they fanned out and they reached the gate of the city. Ushnea Roshim, the other two divisions, here it means divisions, pushed to Al-Kol Asher Basore, they fanned out against everybody who was in the city, who was in the field, Vayakum. So this way they were cut off. There was a pincers. They couldn't get back from the field into the city because Abimelech and the greatest warriors were standing by the gate of the city. So they were stuck, like the Egyptian Third Army, and they just plucked them off one by one. Okay. Vayakum, they destroyed them. Vayimelech nilcham ba'ir, not only that, now that they destroy the soldiers, Vayimelech fought that city, in the city, Kol Yomu, the entire day. Vayilkor Zer, he captured the city, Vesa'om, Mehashrabo, and the nation which was in it. Haragi, killed them. Vayitotzit Zer, destroyed the city, Vayizrael Melech, and he planted with salt. Why did he plant it with salt? So nothing grows, that's right, like Yericho. Vayishmukho Bali Migdashchem. Now besides Shchem itself, there was a tower nearby called Migdal Shechem. And this must be Beis Milo. The Maalim says Beis Milo, which was cursed also by Yosef. And the truth is, in Shmuel Beis, Perek Hei, Pasuk Tes, the word Milo, I look at Karkadansi, otherwise I wouldn't know. It says there that David HaMelech built a Milo around Yerushalayim. And Milo there means fortifications. So Beis Milo must have meant the fortifications of Shechem. So here Migdal Shechem is Beis Milo. So now he took care of Shechem. And that was the first part of the Klol of Yosem. But Yosem also cursed Beis Milo. Now it's time to take care of those Miloites. So then he went there next. Vayishmuko Bali Migdal Shechem. The people of Migdal Shechem, they heard what was going on and they were afraid. Vayavol Tzriach Beis Elbris. And they came to the tower of the Avodah Zarah called Beis Elbris. Now the Malbim points out, this is also Yad Hashem. Why? Because they had a Migdal. They had a real Migdal. A real tower. But they went to a Tzriach. The Tzriach, says Malbim, was obviously made out of wood. And the reason why they ended up in the Tzriach was so they should all be killed. So the Yad Hashem was here to fulfill the klal of Yosam that the Dafka should do an illogical thing. That they should go to a wooden tower, you know, the church steeple of this Avodah Zarah, and they're not going to go back to the Migdal, to the powerful fortification where they normally lived. Nu, Vayugav Avimelech, it was told to Avimelech, they was told to Avimelech, Ki Yizkab Tzuko Bali Migdal Shechem, that all people of Migdal Shechem gathered in this Tzriach, in this church tower. Vayal Avimelech Har Tzamon, Avimelech went up to Har Tzamon, where we just have Tzamon? Hanukkah, right. The Chayarmon, but Tel Talmon. Right. So Talmon, there seems to have been two places to Talmon. You know, bother me, Taka. I was thinking about that during Hanukkah. What does that mean? You know, we never think about most. So it's one of the many things. Thing number 922, which we never think about what it means. Anybody ever stop and think when they sang most or what the words mean? That's your last paragraph. It's unintelligible. What does it mean, the Chayad Mon B'Tzel Tzamon? Huh? You never get there? Jeff, do me a favor. Get me an article sitting from the table in the other room. Admon is the Edom, right? What's B'Tzel Tzamon? I don't know. This is not a trick question. I honestly don't know.
I think it's Mashiach. No?
Tzamon is Mashiach? How came Lord Rosh Shiva? Rosh Shiva might be Mashiach. But Salmon, I looked in the Kod Kedat, so it's two places in Tanakh. Here, and also somewhere in Melachim, I believe. And that's referring to, no, in Tehillim. And that's referring to a place in the Harei Bashan. Harei Bashan. Bashan is where the Golan is.
Salmon.
Samona is south in the Negev. That's not this. That's a different place. Salmona. That's not a Mapikei at the end. It's not Lalechet El Salmon, Salmona. There, the actual name of the place is Salmona with a hay at the end. But in any event, it wouldn't be a Mapikei anyway. It'd be a Komatsay, sorry. But in any event, it seems that the Chayad Moment El Salmon means, you know, Edom is in the mountains south of the Bashan. The Edom is where Amman is today, right? So the Chayamon B'Tzel Tzamon means push them into the mountains of Tzamon and leave them here. Leave them there. But I don't know, this Tzamon over here, I should say the Mefarshim say it was a forest. Let's see what it says here in the authoritative work on Siddur, the article translation. It says here, can't find it. All right. The Chayadmon B'Tzel Tzamon repel the red one in the nethermost shadow. Sounds like a line out of Tolkien. Repel the red one in the nethermost shadow. So Tzamon, they're learning as a lotion of Tzel. So I guess the forest gives off a shade, so that would be why it's the nethermost shadow. In any event, it probably also is an allusion to Tzalmavis, the valley of death, the shadow of death. But in any event, here it just means he went up to the tree, the mountain which has the forests. He and all of his armies. They took axes in their hands. They each cut down branches. And they all took them. And they put it on their shoulders. And here it's an interesting lashon of shichmo, right? Because we're talking about Shechem. So this is kind of like a midah keneged midah. They use their shoulders to get Shechem. Vayomer la Masharim, when he said to the nation which was with him, Asu Asheri Marisem, that which you saw me do, Marisem Asis, that which you saw me do, Maru Asu Kamoni, quickly do like me. Vayichosu Kamel Kolo Ame Ish Suko, each person cut down a branch. Vayichu Akravi Melch Nevavi Melch, Vesimo Atriach, they put the branches on the Triach, on the wooden tower. Vayitzolem is a Triach, and they burned down the wooden tower. It's a much like the Crusades in New York, very similar thing. They burned down the wooden tower. v'ba'ish v'yemusu gam kol anshei mikdashchem, and all of them were in this wooden Avodah Zarah tower. They all died. Ke'elef ish v'isha, 1,000 men and women. It's interesting. One could discuss here the theological implications. Surely, the women, what did they do wrong? Why were they killed? So one could discuss here several things which we're not going to discuss. One is the effectiveness of a klala. Yosem bestowed a curse. A curse can arouse judgment, even against people who are not guilty directly because of this sin.
One could ask, Yotam gave a curse, so what?
Yeah. That's basically...
It's not a self-fulfilling prophecy, not a self-fulfilling curse.
Granted. So that's also part of the question. What does a curse do? One could also say that once Avimelech was granted the privilege of taking revenge, Avimelech was his evil bechira, can even kill people who don't deserve to die, which is probably more likely. Whereas Avimelech will be punished in Gehenna for having killed all those innocent people. But since he was a Baal bechira, and there was permission granted for him to use his bechira here to kill the people who were guilty anyway. So therefore, innocents also get killed in the process.
I understand the severity of the question.
Why?
He's doing as they did in days of yore.
We don't like saying that in days of yore they were barbaric. I guess about Avimelech we can say that.
I don't like saying it, but there.
Yeah, no, I guess about Avimelech we can say, my point is that God allowed so many people to be killed. It's not a question of what Avimelech would do. He was a behemoth. The question of why God allowed so many people to be killed. And so the first point I said was, it's Taka Avimelech's bad bechir. It wasn't God doing it. It was Avimelech doing it. So Eliezer Berkowitz's famous line about the Holocaust. Not a chosid, Eliezer Berkowitz is, don't be chosid me. But Eliezer Berkowitz says about the Holocaust that it's not a kasha on man. No, I missed it. It's not a kasha on God, it's a kasha on man. That's what he said. But in any event... So here too, it was Avimelech. But the efficacy of a klola is also an interesting thing. Because we know that klolas are effective. Curses are effective. That's why in Judaism we're very, very nizhar not to say you be posech pela sotam. Why? Because although, perhaps in our generation, it's meaningless what we say, in the old generations, when they were of greater stature, also what they said had greater stature. And therefore, if a person who was of stature pronounced a klola, so what it does is that it arouses a din in Shemayim. What happens is, Yankel was Mekalel Beryl. They say in Shemayim, let's look at Beryl now. Beryl's not so I, maybe deserves a curse. So it's not that the curse itself brings about the negative result. The curse arouses prosecution, and therefore it's possible that Beryl will be punished as a result. So it's not direct, it's indirect, and it's a really rational thing. If I come and I complain to the Dayan, you know, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu always said, don't mistreat the Amonos and Yisoimim, because they're going to call out to me. Like this, I could be Erech HaPayim. But if they subpoena you to court, what am I supposed to do? Turn the other way. So do we. Our klala works the same way. If a person, betocha miyanochi yoshaves, he doesn't stick out so much, so there's no ayin hara, there's no klala, there's no nothing. Erech HaPayim. God is not concerned with him to punish him exactly now for his averus. But if there's a klala, God will have to be forced to deal with this and mete out the punishment as is fit. Okay. In the meantime, vayelech HaMelech el Tevetz. Tevetz. The guy of Melch then went to another summer, to Tevetz, because he thought they rebelled as well. Vayichan b'Sevetz, and went to Tevetz, he camped in Sevetz, Vayilkadah, and he captured it. The thing is, they were in the Klala, and therefore here Avimelech meets his end. Sevetz he couldn't destroy. Migdal Oz, Hayim Selchayir. It was a powerful citadel in the city. And all the people ran there, Vanoshim and the women, Kobalair, all the householders in the city, Vayizgru Ba'adom, and they closed the door, Vayalu Agaga Migdon, they went up on the roof. It's interesting here the contrast between Avimelech and Gidon. When Gidon came to Penuel, remember, he destroyed their Migdon. God was still with the family back then. Here, Avimelech is going to meet his downfall at this Migdon. Very interesting things here, very interesting parallels. That's the first one. We'll see another one in a minute. Now, this Migdal is made out of stone. Avimelech couldn't burn down the whole thing. Vayavo Avimelech, Avimelech came, Ad Hadamigdal, Lilach, Vayilachim, go up to the tower to fight against it. Vayigasha Pesach Amigdal, he came to the door, the Sovereign of Beish, because all he could burn down was the door. The door was the only thing made out of wood. You see that God is out to get him here. What a fool. He exposed himself. What king walks out in the open to the door of the enemy? Obviously there was Hashgach here to bring total devastation and revenge against Avimelech. He's overconfident. So what happens to him? Vatashleich isha achas pelech rechev. A woman threw down a millstone. Arosh Avimelech on head of Avimelech, Vatoretz Gugloso, and it crushed his skull. Now it's interesting here that the Malbim points out, I believe, that it's Mida Keneged Mida. We've been stressing all the time here that he killed the 70 brothers 11 achas on one stone. And here he gets killed also by a stone. Eben achas. One stone kills him. He called quickly El Anar, who's still dying there on the ground. He said, El Anar, Sir Caleb, to the young man who was bearing his weapons. Vayomer, he said to him, Shlo Charbecha, quickly draw your sword, and most of the saying, kill me. Pen Yomru, Lee, made less they say about me, Isha Ragosu, that he was killed by a woman. He didn't want to go down history being killed by a woman. Vayikareu Naro, so his Nar pierced him. Stabbed him by almost and he died. Now here too we see a very interesting thing. Again, the contrast to Gidon. In the last parak, or two parakim ago, whatever it was, last parak, we saw that Gidon told his nar to kill Zebach and Samuna. He told his son Yeser to kill Zebach and Samuna. That was one of the kids who was killed by Avimelech. And Yeser was afraid to do it. So Gidon said, so that Zebach and Samuna said, you kill us. Because you have more power, and it's more distinguished, more mechubad, for us to be killed by you. Right? And they got their wish. And Gidon killed them himself. Here, Avimelech, in the downfall of Gidon, we see again the contrast. That he was taka killed by a nar. He was almost killed even by a woman. Oh, terrible. But he was killed not by a gibor chayil, but by a nar. Since he was being killed by a nar, obviously was a degradation in contrast to the great power of the house of Gidon in the previous parak. Vayiru ish Yisrael kimeis Avimelech. That's interesting. Out of left field, all of a sudden, all the Jews come into play here. So now I've been talking about Shechem, Beis Milo, Avimelech and his army. Vayiru ish Yisrael kimeis Avimelech. The people of Israel saw that Avimelech died. Ve'ilchu ishim kom, and they all went home. What were they all doing here? The pasuk doesn't tell us. Nobody tells us. So I guess, I have no idea, and perhaps there was a general rebellion. In other words, they had all come to, you know, enough was enough of this Avimelech guy, and they're going to try and get him now. Or maybe not. Maybe Avimelech called them all up to service to come help him. We have no idea what happened here. Naaman, all the Jews were there, and now they went home. They all went back to their places. And now the Navi sums up. You see, Mida Keneged Mida. It's almost as if the Navi is teaching us now. And the moral of the story is, Avimelech returned the evil Avimelech which he did to his father. To drag his father's house, the glorious house of Gidon, drag it down into the mud. La Rogashi Echov. And he killed his 70 brothers. So that evil, which he did, not just that he killed, but he degraded his father's house, that's what brought him down. Veskoras and Shechem, and Kosh Baruch Hu also repaid the evil of the people of Shechem. Heshev Elohim Rosham, God Kigmulam Yashiv Rosham, he gave them their punishment on their heads. Vatov Aleim Kilas Yosam Ben Yerubal, the Klala of Yosam, the son of Yerubal, came to pass, and the fire came out from the thorn bush and destroyed the cedars of Lebanon. The cedars of Lebanon, the fire came from them and destroyed the thorn bush. Everybody went up and smoked together. It's interesting that the final analysis here we call Yosam Ben Yerubal. I'm not sure why we end up with Yerubal, not with Gidon. There must be some significance. I don't know what it is. We'll stop here for tonight.